But if it doesn't please you to worship Yahweh, choose for yourselves today the one you will worship. The gods of your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates River of the gods of the Amorites in those lands you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship Yahweh. The people replied, we will certainly not abandon the Lord to worship other gods, for the Lord our God brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery, and performed these great signs before our eyes. He also protected us along the way we went among the peoples whose lands we travelled through. The Lord drove us out before all the people, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too worship the Lord because he is our God. But Joshua told the people, you will not be able to worship Yahweh because he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not remove your transgressions and sins. If you abandon the Lord and worship foreign gods, he will turn against you, harm you, and completely destroy you after he has been good to you. No, the people answered Joshua, we will worship the Lord.
Thanks, Hannah. Now, I asked Ian and Narelle if they could pick a passage to share with us that has been a significant passage for them in their thinking about mission. What passage would they choose? And this is the passage. So I'm going to have a bit of a chat with them here about the passage, rather than having a sermon tonight. And you can still take notes on things that are said, but tell us a little bit about the book of Joshua. I mean, we've come in here at chapter 24, which is the last chapter. So there's 23 other chapters of what goes on. My understanding is that God's people have been following leadership of Moses out of Egypt, and they've come to the land God promised to give to Abraham's descendants. But they didn't get to go in because they didn't trust God. And so 40 years later, they return to the edge of the land that God had promised. They're about to go in, and Moses reveals that he's not going to do it. Someone else is going to lead them in. And that's where we finish Deuteronomy. And then we pick up Joshua. Tell us about the book of Joshua.
So this is the second generation. Those 40 years, the oldies, over 20, died. And Moses then encourages the new generation to be obedient and says, follow Joshua in doing that. And so Joshua leads them in. They cross over the Jordan River, which is in full flood, and a bit like the parting of the Red Sea, the river stops flowing and Israel enters the land. They enter the place of Jericho. If you remember the story, I have been in Sunday school going round the walls 7 days, and on the seventh day, going around seven times, and then blowing lots of trumpets, and down come the wall, and then they had to kill all the inhabitants because they were given over to God. This is part of God's judgment on the people here of Canaan. He'd given them 400 years to repent, but they hadn't, and so God judges. And then they fight at various other parts of the Promised Land, and basically take the Promised Land, not removing all the previous inhabitants, but they're now starting to settle, and so in front of the middle of Joshua, they've stopped the fighting, and they divide up the land to where people will then start to live. And that's what they're doing. They're starting now to settle down, build crops, marry, do all those things. And Joshua says, okay, now, you're in. How are you going to live? Are you going to follow the Lord? Are you going to serve the Lord? And that's the questions he's asking. And if they say yes, that's where we get to chapter 24. And basically, Joshua is an old man talking about trusting God. And we're old, and we're talking about you, about trusting God for the rest of your life.
I can see in verse 29, Joshua dies at the age of 110, so he is quite...
I'm halfway there.
Quite a bit older than us. Yeah, and I'm 54, so we're halfway there. Okay, the best years are ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's interesting, actually, what we've just said about the context of this passage that we had read, Joshua actually gives that the first 13 verses of chapter 24. He gives the history lesson and reminds them of what God has done for them. And then we picked it up from verse 14 with Joshua's speech, where he says to them, Fear the Lord, worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship Yahweh. Now, at some points in the passage, it says Lord, and at some points it says Yahweh. Can you just quickly give us a comment on what the difference is, if there is any? So sometimes we get Lord in capital letters there. So verse 17, for the Lord, our God, brought us and our fathers out of Egypt. But at other points, we have Yahweh. Is it the same or?
So it's referring to God.
So the capital L-O-R-D is the Tamagethon. It's words that Jewish people won't actually say for God. We kind of guess it's Yahweh, and that's where it's translated L-O-R-D, but they will normally say another name for God there. So it's the God of the covenant. It's not just any God. It's the God who made the promises to God's people, Abraham and his descendants. And that's the God that they're reminding themselves there too. And Yahweh there is just another name for this same God. So it's a slightly Hebrew word, but it means the similar thing.
So when Joshua says, in, say, verse 15, as for me and my family, we will worship Yahweh, and the people respond, we will certainly not abandon the Lord. It's not like they're trying to say something different. They're in agreement. Okay, so they're in agreement with Joshua.
Yes.
Because sometimes you look at it and you think, oh, they haven't said the same thing as Joshua here. They've said something softer or whatever, but it's the same. Yeah. Okay, now, what is it that is the agenda here for Joshua as he's talking to the people? He's got this line in verse 15, as for me and my family, which seems to indicate, I don't care what you guys really do. I'm going to do this and I'm going to exercise a bit of leadership here. What are the other options for them? Like, isn't God the only God they know?
So these people, their families came out of Egypt. So they know about the Egyptian gods. They've been part of people travelling, and they've seen the gods all around them before they came into the land. And now they've come into the land, and they've actually seen that the people in the land worship different gods too. And so they've actually been surrounded by people who haven't worshipped the one true God. And so they do actually have a lot of options before them. But they have seen the God who saves. And I think that's why Joshua says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. He is the God who has saved you. And so even though he says, choose who you will serve, he's wanting them to choose God. He's not really saying, oh, well, you could choose this God, or you could choose. I don't really mind which one you choose. I'm going to serve the Lord. But you pick who you want. He is saying, I'm serving the Lord, and that's what I want you to do.
And that's why he gives the whole history of what's happened, because see how faithful God's been in doing all this. So why would you want to go after those other gods?
It sounds a little bit like what Moses said at the end of Deuteronomy, where he says to the people, see, today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity, and he calls on them to choose life. And Joshua seems to be doing a similar sort of thing. He's saying to them, make sure you choose to worship Yahweh rather than any of the other gods that you've known before or heard of, or the gods that you're going to confront as you go into the land. So, so when the people respond and say, yeah, we'll serve the Lord, Joshua goes, no, you won't. Like, he doesn't believe them.
That's
almost.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm calling on you to do something, but you're not going to be able to do it. So what's he actually saying here in verse 19?
If you remember, he's from that first generation who he saw a whole generation of God's people, thousands of them, say no to Yahweh, even though God got them out of the land. God on the end of Egypt, got on the promised land, they sent spies in, and Joshua was one of those spies. Yeah, there were big giant people there, no way they looked like they could defeat the people in there. And everyone said, okay, we're not going in. trust him. No, we've got to trust God. And so now in this second generation, he's saying, look, I've seen the failures of the past. Trust this God. I've seen how trustworthy he is. Go trust with me, him.
But he knows that we people are exactly the same as the first generation. And we stuff up. And he knows that they will stuff up, just like we know we will stuff up. And we know that you will stuff up. And so he knows there's going to be a problem in the future.
Yeah. In fact, there's a hint of that in verse 31. Which we didn't read, but it says, Israel worshipped Yahweh throughout Joshua's lifetime and during the lifetime of the elders who outlived Joshua and who had experienced all the works Yahweh had done for Israel. And there's almost an implication that, but that's as far as they worshipped Yahweh.
Yeah.
And if we actually turn over the page to Judges chapter 2, we see the same thing in chapter 2, verse 8, when Joshua gets to 110 and he dies. And then we read verse 10, that whole generation was also gathered. After them, another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works he had done for Israel's. The Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So it didn't last for long.
One generation.
Okay, now, tell me, why is this a significant passage for you in your thinking about ministry?
So we're committed to serving God and we want to serve God together and we wanted to serve as a family. And you just talked here, it was one generation. We want this to go on for longer than one generation. And so, as a family, we want to serve God and we're really excited that Beth is serving God and we like to see that just keep going as a family serving God. And we want to call other people.
We want to call on Janelle and then the church to keep serving God in generations. That's why it's great to have you here under the age of 18, wanting to serve God.
And that's why we went to Jakarta, Hong Kong, and going to Singapore. Because we want to say, this has got to keep going down through the generations of calling people to serve God, and we want to do that.
Okay.
Generation after generation gets to be called to serve God.
Because, we have other options, don't we? Ian, do you want to say something about idols and what we confront, perhaps?
Yeah, many options here in Australia. In a multicultural Australia, so there are gods in that sense of people who are here, both Indigenous people and people who have come to live in Australia. Beth will have that in an Islamic school. You'll have that in your friends, of people with religion or no religion, and you'll have all sorts of things that will try and consume your energies and efforts in terms of your books, your relationships, your schooling, your career, when you get some money, your possessions. All those things can take the place of God, become idols. And so you too will need to make the choice of whom are you going to serve. And at times when people confront you about who do you believe, you'll have to choose who you're going to serve and when you're going to speak up for the God that you want to follow.
It's interesting that you talked about the fact that at that point when Moses died, just before he died, he challenged the people. And here it is at the end of Joshua's time, he's challenging the people. And I think there are crucial points in your life where you're going to have to continue to be challenged, who am I going to serve? And those crucial points might come, say, when you start university. They may come when you're tempted, hey, I really want a non-Christian boyfriend, girlfriend. And so there are points in your life where it's going to be really important. You're just travelling along as a Christian and then a temptation will come or a crucial change will happen in your life and you need to be challenged. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to put Jesus first or is something else going to become more important in your life?
Mm. I'm aware, as you were saying, that in Luke's Gospel in chapter 14, Jesus turns to those who are following him and he says to them, if you're going to follow me, I have to come first, ahead of your father and your mother, your wife and your children, brothers and sisters. And if you don't put me first, you can't be my disciple. It's pretty much what Joshua is saying to the people here too. Yes. God has to come first.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're grateful to God that they say, yeah, we're going to choose God, and they did, and did a pretty good job that second generation.
Mm.
Yeah. This generation.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing some of that with us. Ian, would you like to lead us in prayer on these things? Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Joshua and his faithfulness, both in that first generation coming out of Egypt as a spy who trusted you, and then as the leader of God's people as they entered into the promised land. Thank you for his faithfulness. And thank you that his name, Joshua, is Jesus' name, that Jesus would have been called Joshua by his mum as the person that means the Lord saves. So thank you for Jesus, who was an even greater Joshua, who has lived a faithful life, and a life that meant that we can be forgiven when we make a mess of it, when we stuff up, when we don't choose to follow you, or we are quiet about following you. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that by Jesus and his Spirit, you would work in both Mel and Beth and I, but also in each and every one of us here as part of Janelle Church. And in the times when we need to choose who we're going to serve, that we will choose you. We'll continue to see you, Lord God, as faithful and trustworthy. And so we'll continue to choose you. And we'll be challenged to live godly and faithful lives, obedient to your word. And that will mean, again, choosing to serve you. So help us, both individually, as a church, as a group of friends. And we pray this so that Jesus will be honored by the way we live. Amen.